Hey, Dreamers, this is Wes Chapman, the founder of A Human Project, and each day as you're going through your life, don't forget your dreams, and don't forget to check out the latest episode of the Dreamers Podcast.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with George Cal, who is making his dreams come true by helping others make their dreams come true. Glad to have you on the show, George.
It's great to be here, Joe. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we got to talk a little bit before the show, and it seems like you do a whole heck of a lot, and you're rewarded quite handsomely for what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to tell any part of the story your audience would find helpful.
Well, why don't we get started by giving some background about yourself?
I guess I'll just go in the past couple of years. Back in 2008, I had quit my job because I felt like, and this is, you'll get a sense of my ideals when you hear this. I quit my job as highest paid person in this small company because I felt that the company could use its money better. And I actually had to quit three times before they let me quit. And I mean, not like I was being paid a lot. It was a very small business. But I'm like, you know what? You guys should take this money and do this and this instead of paying me. So I quit in a very idealistic way. And then I couldn't find a job for a while because it was 2008, you know, going into 2009. I got really impatient in the job search. So I just started trying a few things. I started helping my friends with something that I was really good at, which they needed help with, which is social media, using it professionally, whether to build their career or to build their businesses. I was known for that. And I just started helping them out. And then one of my friends said, hey, you should charge for this. I'm like, really? Like, I could actually go into business doing this? And that was one of the aha moments for me. It's like, listen, whatever skill and passion you have that other people find valuable, you can turn into a livelihood. You can turn into a business. Absolutely. That's the definition of a business, is doing something that others find valuable. And of course, putting a structure around that. And so I did. I started in mid-2009. And within the first year, I was making over $100,000 a year. In the first 5 years of business, 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, first 5 years of business, I made over $1 million as a solopreneur. Like, I don't have staff. I do it. I clean the toilets here, and I'm the keynote speaker. I do everything myself, and I did it with a really great work-life balance. I worked about 40 to 50 hours a week from home, so there's no commute. And I took a lot of breaks during my workday so I can stay energized and motivated and inspired. And I mean, all thanks to the internet. Everyone listening right now, it's like whatever passion you have that, again, others find valuable, you can make a living, especially if you use the internet technologies. I mean, Joe, like kind of what you're doing now, you're building your platform, you know, and that's really what you're doing is smart, because you're building your platform and then you will be offering something to the audience that they find valuable. And that's the essence of smart business. And I'll say that in the past year, I've really made a transition. I've made enough money where, you know, I have a bit of cushion and I wanted to experiment. And so in the first 5 years, I really made most of my money selling informational products like online courses, basically, and group coaching programs where it was mostly people were buying, you know, audio downloads and slideshows from me. And then they got access to me through a group Q&A call, you know, every week, that kind of thing. I was helping them build their business, basically, because that's what I became known for, is social media and learning, teaching people how to do webinars and then kind of online marketing in general. And then this year, you know, 2014, I made a decision. I said, you know what? I'm going to, from now on, at least for the foreseeable future, give away everything I used to be selling. I decided to start giving away all my content instead of making money on it. And now I'm only charging for one-to-one coaching with people. And I share this simply because it is the opposite of what most people think of as smart business, right? And usually you're supposed to go from helping people one-to-one to then leveraging your time and efforts to helping lots and lots of people and making lots and lots of money. Well, I kind of am going the opposite way. I made lots of money helping lots of people, and now I'm going to one-to-one. And that's the reason why, and I'm going a bit long, but you can interrupt me anytime. The reason why is that I guess I had kind of a spiritual awakening. I came to realize that I want to look at my life, I want to look at my work as a legacy, as how am I helping this planet and the world and the people even after I die. And so now, starting this year, I just started to look at the content I produce, all the YouTube videos I make to train people to do this and that in business and marketing, and all the things I write. I give it away, because then I can truly help a lot more people, because there's no friction in the commerce. And now with the money, I do one-to-one. Now, I'll tell you, that is idealistic and that is quite extreme. And that's not what I recommend for everyone, okay? I think it's perfectly reasonable to make money selling information products, things like online courses, you know, ebooks, books, and you know, audio series or whatever. It's perfectly reasonable to do that. It's that I just decided to take a different way. And I'll tell you, I have felt a lot more fulfilled in my own business and work ever since I made the decision. But I think it's really for each person to experiment with and decide.
Oh, it takes a lot of guts to make that decision. And I'm sure if you talk to some people that already were doing, you know, friends that are in similar business, they might have thought you were crazy.
Absolutely. You know, I have friends who are making millions and tens of millions a year doing what I, you know, what we all used to be doing and that they're still doing. And I'm happy that they're doing it. And if they're feeling fulfilled about what they're doing, if they really feel like they're helping people and they have a good work-life balance, then who am I to argue with that, right?
No, I hear you. I think it's really special that you made that personal decision spiritually and mentally, and then actually putting it to paper and doing it, that you were going to just start, you know, giving away information that you were charging for before. I don't remember who said it, but I recently heard the idea that you could give away all the information, but you keep the tools, and that the tools are what you actually charge for to make that information easier. And in your case, the tools would be, well, I don't want to call you a tool, but
no.
But in that sense, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. What I charge for is my clients look to me and say, George, you have produced this wealth, this library of training and data. And what we're paying you for is you give us the exact thing you want us to watch or listen to or read that's most helpful to our business. And then you coach us through actually doing the strategy successfully. And so you're absolutely right. And so there are many, in other words, what you're bringing up is there's many monetization strategies. It doesn't have to be just what other people are doing. And one other thing I'll say about why I made such a decision, this radical decision, is that I see my life and my work as an experiment. I'm modeling something for the world. I'm saying, hey, what if I went this radically generous route? Can I still make a living doing it? You know, and so it's still an experiment. I mean, we're just 9 months into the experiment, and so far so good. So I really encourage all of you who are listening to this, you know, don't be afraid to go your own way, even if other people are thinking that you are crazy. Go the way that your heart is telling you to go.
So what would you say your dream means to you?
So I'll start with this. My dream for the world is that everybody can be doing the work that they love and that brings that where they're using their strengths to bring the greatest contribution and positive change to the planet and to other people. Like, that's my dream for the world. And my dream for myself is that I can be every day doing my best to make that a reality for others. And so I do, my dream is, just in my day-to-day dream, is to produce as much useful content and share it freely, to coach my clients into, you know, individually implementing their dream, and then to make sure I model a good work-life balance. That's one of the things I'm really proud of, is I work probably a lot less than most of my business partners who are, you know, yes, they're making like 100 times more money, you know, amount of money than I am at this time. But they are working so hard that they're always complaining to me, you know? And I'm like, wait, what are you doing? Like, if you are making all this money and you have no time to really enjoy your life and pursue other things besides making money and have a great life with the people you live with or who your family or whoever you live with and your friends and your own spiritual practice or whatever, then what's the point? Like, any of us can drop dead at any moment. You know, like, it's not given to us to know when it is our time is up. And so you've got to make today worth it, you know, and that's my dream is to do that for myself and to hopefully inspire others to do that.
Yeah, you know, not too long ago, I came to the same realization, you know, I could not wake up tomorrow. And yeah, not that I shouldn't, you know, plan for tomorrow, you know, financially or
of course,
that, you know, physical things that need to be done, but in the sense that, like, hey, I got to be happy today because tomorrow might not be here for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the way I like to say it is when it comes to our health, when it comes to my health, I live and plan as if I'm gonna live to 1,000 years old. Okay. So I make sure I take care of my health and, you know, I might be here for a long time, especially with technologies, the way that technology is keeping on growing. Most of us listening to this might live, probably will live past 100, you know. But when it comes to my work, I do it as if I only have 6 months left to live. So that gives me urgency. Like, I'm going to do my best darn work I can now because I might not be able to.
What would you say inspires you?
Watching other people live lives that are generous and that are where I feel like they're really contributing to the world in a way that they're going to be remembered, that their contribution is going to be remembered. I'll give a couple of examples, I guess. There's this guy in Brazil. Most of you probably haven't heard of this, and I don't know this is a spiritual master person, and I don't know the spiritual worldview of most of your listeners, and I know we all have different ones, but this guy was in Brazil. His name is Chico Xavier, X-A-V-I-E-R. You can find him on Wikipedia. His first name, proper name, is Francisco, F-R-A-N-C-I-S-C-O. His last name is Xavier, X-A-V-I-E-R. This guy, in his lifetime, and he passed in the 90s, in his lifetime, he wrote 450 books. Okay. While working full time, he was a hard worker for the government on a model farm. They had like some government model farms, and he was working in them. And on his evenings and weekends, he would write these books, 450 of them by the end of his life, actually more than that. And he published them, and he gave away all of the money from his books to charity. And guess what? By the end of his life, he had founded, from his books, over 2,000 social welfare organizations. And people called him like a one-man social welfare agency because he was serving tens of thousands of poor, old, and sick people just through the revenues from his books. I mean, that guy like lived humbly all his life, very happily. Like, he had tons of fans, of course, and people loved him, and he was loved everywhere he went. But yeah, like, stories like that so inspire me because I'm like, wow, look at what's possible, you know, when we give our hearts. So yeah, in a nutshell, as one example, that inspires me a lot.
Oh, I think that's a great story, man. I don't think I've ever heard of the guy, but I will definitely be looking him up because
he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, and he's one of the national heroes in Brazil, but little known in the rest of the world.
That's a shame. Yeah. 450 books. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. In the spare time.
Yeah, in the spare time. So, how was it received by your family when you decided to leave your job and just jump right at, you know, well, eventually finding your way to jumping into helping others?
Sure. And first, I'll preface to say, I don't recommend people just jump and leave their jobs and try to start their own thing. Okay, so I want to be clear. A lot of motivational speakers out there, you know, kind of make you think that, oh my God, it's so easy to start a business. And then, you know, just quit your job. And you know, they really vilify the job. J-O-B, just over broke. And I really want to say, please be careful when you hear that line of reasoning, because the person telling you that is probably trying to sell you something. You know, they're trying to sell you some kind of get-rich-quick thing. And I will tell you right now that it is extremely rare for someone to get rich quick. It's much more likely that you will build your platform over time and you will build your revenue over time. Now, so you will have like big, sometimes you will have really lucky launches where you do really great. And then the next launch, suddenly you're like, what the heck happened? I used the same strategy, but I made a lot less money. That's normal. That's normal in the course of business. So I'm saying that because I don't want people to follow necessarily my route unless you have – here's why I quit my job. I quit my job because at that time my wife had a full-time job. She was fine doing it. And she said, George, I really don't mind if you want to explore something different. And so I'm going to give you some time to explore because I'm fine with my job is stable and we can support us. If you have a spouse that's supportive like that, or if you have, you know, parents who are supportive like that, great. You know, you can try out quitting your job for 2 years and experimenting with starting a business. But if you don't, please stay in your job and do your thing in the part-time. So they were happy that my wife was supporting me, but they were also thinking, you know, George, in this kind of economy and the crash just starting to happen, what the heck are you doing? I mean, especially you quitting. It's not like you were getting fired. You were quitting. And I said, you know, I really don't believe that the company was getting the most value out of what I was doing there. I think a lot of people are probably in jobs where they're like, well, I'm not sure what I'm doing for the company, but I'm getting paid, you know? And I just, I guess I'm so idealistic that I said, you know, no, I this is a small business. They don't have a lot of money. I don't want them doing this. So thankfully, within the year of my quitting, I was able to replace my income. So pretty soon I was able to show my mom and dad, hey, you know what? I'm doing this thing that you've never heard of. And, you know, they kind of were very doubtful about what I was doing for about 3 years, really. Even when I was making a full-time living, they were still like, we've never heard of this kind of thing. I mean, they're from the 20th century, you know, they built their careers in the 1900s, right? And now in the 21st century, things are moving so fast that careers are being created almost every day that we've never heard of. And so this is why if any of you are listening and you have, especially if you have parents or grandparents or elders who are saying that you should follow the stable route, guess what? It is no longer there. The stable job of joining a company like General Motors and working for 50 years and then retiring, that's gone. And I'm sorry to say, but technology is moving so fast. Career development is changing at a clip that's so rapid that the elders of our world are just totally flabbergasted on, they don't know what to think about it. They don't understand it. So people like you and I, Joe, you're building a platform, and then you know once you have a platform, of course you can monetize it. That's hard for those who built their careers in the 1900s to understand.
Yeah, I mean, even for entrepreneurs of the ninth, you know, the last century, you don't make money by giving things away for free. I mean, that's what they don't understand.
Well, the internet wasn't available right. Most of the 20th century.
Right, and that's just the thing, right? So you're going to start a store. Okay, well, you buy stuff, you open up a storefront, right. And you start selling stuff, and sure. You do advertising and all that, and it's just different in this, it's just slightly different.
and there's an analogy even to 20th century business is the ice cream shop. The ice cream shop, they don't just expect people to come in and choose a weird flavor they've never heard of and buy it. They say, hey, you want to try this flavor? We'll give you a spoonful of it for free. That's giving away stuff for free. And, you know, some people, I'm sure they come in the ice cream shop, taste a few of the ice creams and walk away, right? Now, the difference with the internet is that by you giving it away to one person, it doesn't cost you any more to give it to 100 people. Whereas it costs them money to give away 100 little free spoonfuls of ice cream. It costs you very little to give away another 1,000. And so it's like you're giving away 1,000 free spoonfuls of ice cream before they decide, hey, I really like your flavor. I'm going
to
buy.
I'm curious to know what steps you took as soon as you quit your job, and it doesn't sound like you had a whole lot of a plan just yet. What steps did you take to get to that plan and then put that plan into action?
You know, we could, there's a whole lot we could talk about here, and, you know, feel free to interrupt me anytime if you want to ask questions. So I would say to everyone who is thinking about doing this, right? Like I'll share my plan and in a way that I think will be applicable to everyone listening here. When it comes to creating a livelihood, where the money comes from is what other people find valuable. And to do that, you have to look at what is selling in the market, okay? I call that matching. Matching what you are thinking about doing with what is selling in the market. And the way you find out is by looking at, well, gosh, even asking your friends, what are you guys buying in this realm? You know, or what have you heard of other people who are doing well in their careers or in their businesses selling this kind of service or selling this kind of product? Okay, so a great place is to start with your friends. And of course, they might introduce you to other people who could, you can interview and talk to about that. So that's what I call matching, okay? Before you create, before you spend a year creating an amazing product and then finding out nobody wants it, right? You do the interviewing and the research to find out what's selling. So imagine a river of money in the industry that you're thinking of getting into. The river of money is what people are spending their money on. It's your job as an entrepreneur to find out what that river of money is, to get study that river of money, and to dip your ladle into that river. What a lot of entrepreneurs do is they, or inventors, right? They come up with this radical idea. Oh, I think this is going to change the world. It's going to help me. And, you know, if they're lucky, it sells. But most of the time, they come up with something that the world doesn't want. They spend maybe years in their garage creating this gadget, and they go out and they try to sell it, and nobody wants it because they were trying to create their own river rather than going out and finding out what the river is and saying, oh, my gosh, people are buying this kind of thing. Well, guess what? I have an innovation on that thing that will make it more effective, that will make it more cheap, that will make it more convenient, that will make it more delightful for people, whether we're talking about a product or a service. So then I'm going to create this thing that's already selling, but make it my flavor with my innovation. And of course, people are going to buy it because they're used to buying that thing already. So that's matching. And then the second stage is enrollment. Enrollment is things like having sales conversations or, you know, putting up a sales page on the internet and doing, you know, Google ads or Facebook ads, things like that. That's important because if you're not enrolling people aren't finding out about what you have, you're not going to make any money, right? So, you know, now that's one path, right? Matching and enrollment. But another path that's a bit more inspirational, might I say, is building visibility first before you do matching and enrollment. And I would say, you know, Joe, that's kind of what you're doing, because right now it's not like you're not starving. You have a job right now and you're able to pay the bills. So you're not in a big hurry to make money like this year. So you are able to take the more inspirational path of building a platform, building an audience, which is visibility. And then now that you have the audience, you have the perfect people to do matching with, because you can now ask them, you can create a prototype, create an outline of something you're thinking of selling to them, and then ask them, hey, would this meet your needs? Are you excited about this? Or would you rather me address something else? And then they will tell you, your audience will tell you. If you have an audience who trusts you, who likes you, who's engaged with you, they will tell you what they want. And then you could do the matching, and then you could do the enrollment. And everyone's very happy because you have produced something they want, you know, at a good price, and they buy it. It works for them. And then you go on and you keep creating a better and better version of whatever you create. And then you can create other things you want to create that the audience wants. Long answer to your question, but I hope that helps.
No, it does. Is that the process that you found?
I stumbled into that process. I stumbled onto it. If I had been my own coach, you know, back then, I probably would have done it even faster. But what I did was I did it kind of intuitively. I'm like, you know what? I'm good at social media. My friends are asking me for help with it. I didn't know that was matching. You know? And so I just went ahead and taught them it. And then they said, you should charge for it. I'm like, oh, really? I can charge for this? And so what I did was I went to LinkedIn and I found people who had an audience that could probably use social media training. And so I freely helped out those influencers with their social media. And then I say, hey, would your audience benefit from doing me giving away some social media training to them? And they said, well, yeah, that sounds really valuable. My audience has been asking for it. So I did. I did webinars teaching people free social media to different audiences. They loved it. And I had a course, an online course that went deeper into everything I taught. So very simple.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that seems like a really solid plan. That it was very fortunate that you had a social media background that people found valuable.
Totally. Totally. So that's the thing. Like, all of us have a background that other people will find valuable. It's our job to do the matching, have the enough conversations so we can clarify what that is.
So what was the biggest roadblock that you hit along the way?
Well, the biggest roadblock I would say is not knowing that business growth is not a perfect linear path of, oh, this month I made 5,000. That means next month I'll make 5,500. Next month I'll make 6,000. It doesn't go like that. Especially, maybe in 20th century business, it was easier to make it go like that. In 21st century business, especially if you're talking about online, it doesn't go like that. It'll be more like hills and valleys. But if you do it in the right way, it'll be hills and valleys going upward gradually. And maybe sometimes you'll do a launch of a product or service that you just struck the right chord and it'll do extremely well. And then you'll have this idea that, oh my God, my next one's going to be great too. And then it crashes. That's the roadblock I had, was when something didn't go right, I thought that I was supposed to invalidate my whole business. No, it just means you have to experiment again next time with better matching. So that's the roadblock, is a mental roadblock. Please don't think that it's always going to go linear. It's going to go up and down. But your failure is only when you quit. And I know that sounds cliche for some people, but it's actually true in online entrepreneurship. If you don't quit, but you learn from the failed launch, that's the key. You can't just go on and do another. It's the definition of insanity, right? It's to do the same thing, expecting a different result. You can't just keep doing the same thing. You learn from your launch failure. And then you do another test, and this is another roadblock I'll say. You cannot guarantee your results. And if anyone is trying to tell you that they can guarantee you money, guarantee you marketing results, run the other direction, because they are trying to sell you a dream that's not true. Okay? I have been around the block. I have coached over 1,000 people. And the true reality of business, especially in the volatile online market, is you just need to keep launching. And I look at each launch as if I'm flying a paper airplane. This is really key. Like, a lot of people think of their launch as like they're having a baby, and they spend literally 9 months, creating this massive thing. And then they have this baby, and then nobody thinks their baby is pretty or cute. Everyone thinks their baby is ugly. Nobody's buying it. And they're devastated. And it's literally life or death. They're like, my baby has died. This launch didn't work. So I'm going to quit. Please, everyone, look at your experiments. Look at your launches in business as paper airplanes. When you fly a paper airplane and then it crashes, you don't just go, I'm never going to fly another paper airplane. I'm going to quit. I'm a loser. No, you go, oh my gosh, okay, let me take the paper airplane. Let me tweak the wing a little bit this way. Let me fix the nose. Let me put a little, a little propeller, or not propeller, the thing in the back, to tweak that a little bit. And let me try flying it again. Ooh, this time it flew a little bit better. Ah, I've learned something. Let me try tweaking it again. So it's all launching a series of paper airplanes. If you do that, and if you don't quit, you will find the success that you want.
I think that's a great analogy, man.
thanks.
Well, what's been your biggest disappointment so far with being a solopreneur?
Being a solopreneur means that I work for myself and often by myself. That's the reality of things, And when you work by yourself and you're doing, especially doing some marketing online, if it doesn't work, it's not always going to work. Sometimes it won't work. And you're wondering, you don't have the feedback to know why something didn't work. You don't have the feedback to know why a launch didn't go well or why a marketing campaign didn't go well. That's been the biggest disappointment. That's been the biggest difficulty. And so I really recommend all of you to find someone else, whether it's a coach or whether it's a community. There are many, many free Facebook groups out there to get feedback about what your efforts are, so that you're not truly working alone, but you're working with someone else or with a community.
Yeah, working by yourself, it can get in your head a bit, especially when you're having bad days and things aren't going right.
Exactly. And I'll say, Joe, you know what? I think something you may want to consider is creating a community of dreamers who are working to create their dream. And, you know, you could charge a little bit, charge a very affordable fee so that you have the time to then facilitate that. That would be very valuable for people.
Yeah, I've already started trying to do that. It's been very slow going, though not on a fee basis, just on a, hey, on Wednesdays we're getting together on Google Hangouts and we're gonna chat and try to hold each other accountable and stuff like that, bounce ideas off each other.
Yeah, keep going. I think Google Hangout is a bit intimidating for people. I would encourage you just to create a private Facebook group where you promise to show up there on a regular basis, offering your support and advice and facilitating a community that other dreamers can be realizing their dreams. So, you know, something what they call asynchronous, not at the same time. And of course you can add some live Google Hangouts and things like that, but something to think about.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Yeah.
So if you could be mentored by someone living or dead for an afternoon, who would it be?
Oh, wow. I would say probably Leo Babauta. Who's living? Leo Babauta is the founder of ZenHabits.net. And this guy's amazing. He actually lives in the same city as I live in, San Francisco. Not a cheap place to live. And he supports a family of six here in San Francisco. And he gives away most of his content. And he actually uncopyrights most of his content, meaning he invites people to take his prolific content and even just to sell it as theirs. I mean, of course, no one would actually do that, but his uncopyright literally means that. ZenHabits.net, you can go to zenhabits.net/uncopyright, I think that's what it is, and read his ridiculous way. But he makes a great living doing what he does. He gives away most of the content, and he sells, well, just like I said, he sells a membership community, $10 a month, Joe. And there are, I think, hundreds or thousands of people in it. And he basically goes in there and facilitates people creating good habits. And of course, he has content, you know, connected to that community as well, premium content. But I would want to be mentored by him for an afternoon. And hey, who knows? Maybe one day I will have that opportunity.
Wow. You know, I'm at the website right now. It is very zen.
I know.
Say,
totally
very
minimalistic. Yeah.
It's almost confusing how... how simplistic it is. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna have that in the show notes for people to go and check out. So could you share a favorite memory from your solopreneurship?
Well, I would say that the memories I have that are great are when I receive emails from people. Well, I can think of an email I received just in the past couple of weeks that said, George, you know, no matter what you think, I mean, no matter if you're getting lots of feedback from people or not, your content is making a radical difference in my life. And that is not possible to be measured. And so I think that would be, and I would say as you all go out and generously help others in whatever field you want to pursue, know that you are helping people. Sometimes they don't even give you thanks, but you're changing lives in ways that's often invisible. And so I would say those are my favorite memories is when I receive that kind of feedback from people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love it when I get emails from my listeners, and it's just a great feeling to know that you're helping people. And sometimes even from my guests who get back to me after the fact and are like, you know, I reflected on what we were talking about, and it, you know, I made this change or made this thought come into my mind just from having a conversation.
Yeah, awesome.
So what do your dreams for the future look like, George?
Well, you know, I am working on something right now that, might be inspiring for you all. I'm creating a movement of mentors, and it's I'll just say this. Imagine if you could mentor three people on whatever area of passion you have. for some of you that may be, you may be passionate about health and fitness, and you would something that you love talking about. Like, you could talk on and on about this area, and you know others somewhere in the world need help with that area. Imagine you can some others of you, it could be like finding a great relationship or having great relationships. For some others of you, it's like career or some technical thing. Okay, whatever it is. Imagine you can mentor three people, and then they go on, each of those three people go on and mentor three others in whatever they are passionate about, right? So you might mentor three people in holistic fitness, and then one of your three people might mentor someone else in how to do internet searching more effectively. Another person you mentor might help someone, have a better marriage or whatever, whatever it is. So I'm creating this movement called Mentor 3, and you all can check it out by going to www.mentor3.org. And I am looking at this as a 21-year project. 21 year, and I'll tell you why. I am now mentoring three people, okay? And my job this year is to find and mentor three people who are happy to mentor three others. And this is all volunteer. I don't charge any money for this. And I tell my mentors, this is volunteer. Help you. Why would people volunteer? First of all, when you mentor someone in the area you're passionate about, you become better and more excellent, more amazing at it. And the more you mentor in that area, the more you become a master at it. So it's a way to build competence and build mastery in your passion. And also, when you mentor people and they follow the system and mentor others, you build a huge network of people who are grateful to you. And so it's called mentor3.org. Check it out. I'm looking at this as a 21-year project, because if I mentor three people this year, and then next year they mentor three people, and the next year the second or third generation we're at mentor three people, et cetera, et cetera. Did you know that by the 21st year, we will have reached the entire planet? That is the magic of exponential growth. You just try it. 3 times 3 times 3 times 3. Go to the 21st generation and you've reached like 10 billion people or whatever it is. And so I look at this as a 21-year project. And the great thing about it is that we're all going to keep in touch, so that you will be in touch with your network. So if you needed to share a message, or eventually if you have a service or product to share with your network, you can say, hey, my three, if you've been benefited from my mentorship, and if you think this will be helpful for other people, please do share this link with them. And imagine having a network of tens of thousands of people who are happy to share your message. So that's the idea. That's what that's wow. My dream future.
Yeah. Wow. How do you plan on making money out of that?
I'm not thinking of this as making money, but once I build a network, of tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, or hopefully tens of millions or more, making money is not a problem, because any message I want to share, even if it's a commercial message, as long as it's a good fit for people, they will share it. It becomes a free and vast advertising channel for anybody who participates.
Definitely. I could definitely see that. Well, it's exactly what we talked about earlier, where it's not the information, it's the tools.
That's right. It's the relationships in this case.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's the network. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And I would love to definitely be a part of that.
Yeah, man. I invite you to. And the cool thing about this idea is that there's no requirement on how you mentor people. And, for some people, they have a lot of free time, and they say, hey, I'd be happy to talk with my mentee, twice a week for half an hour or an hour. And for some people who are really busy, they can talk to their mentee once a month, So it's really based on your own availability.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Definitely can't wait to get started.
Yeah, man. We'll be in touch.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I just want to encourage people to know that the journey of living your dream is one that you build bit by bit. So don't have this fantasy that you can do it, get rich quick, do it in 1 year or whatever. What I encourage everyone to do is to learn how to enjoy the moment by moment journey itself. Like, observe and watch yourself in the journey and enjoy each day that you're doing it. And let that itself, let your development be its own reward. Because if you do that, you will stick with it long enough to see the massive rewards that will come to you.
Yeah, it definitely takes a lot. I mean, they said, what does it take, like 7 years to become an overnight success?
Yeah, I mean, I think the 10,000 hour rule is really not too far off. Some people say it takes 10,000 hours of practicing something to become a master at. Not just some people, it's apparently research says. I don't necessarily think that you have to practice something for 10,000 hours before you can start a business. I really look at business as practice. I'm not saying you practice your very first hour with your paid customer, but at least you practice a bit. And as long as you are better than your client, better than your customer, you can start charging them to help them get to the next level. And eventually you will reach those 10,000 hours.
Right. You know? I mean, you don't have to be an expert. They just have to perceive that you're more of an expert at it than they are.
Expert is all, just like you said, expert is all relative. If I am, you know, one or two steps ahead of you in a particular thing, I am considered an expert in your eyes.
Yeah. So I'd love for you to plug your websites and your Twitter handles and how people can connect with you.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And I always welcome people to email me if they have any questions, and I do my best to answer emails whenever I can. People can go to my main presence is www.georgekao.com. That's GEORGEKAO.com. You can also find me on Facebook. That's a great place to follow my best content. Just search George Cao or facebook.com/GeorgeCao is my Facebook. And I'd really encourage all of you to check out this Mentor 3 idea. If it inspires you, it's www.mentor3.org. And it's the number 3, mentor3.org.
I will definitely have them all on howtodream.co's show notes.
Awesome.
So people can get all those and connect with you.
Great. Look forward to it.
Well, George, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I would love to have you on again in like 6 months to a year to follow up and see how things are going.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure things will have evolved even more for me because I'm always experimenting. So I look forward to sharing with your audience what my newest experiments are.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be awesome to hear, you know, how especially how everything turned out.
Sure.
With giving your information for free and yep. all that. In the long term.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you again for coming on, and I hope you have a great day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.